Hi, this is Randy Atkins, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. The following are the words of Dr. Arthur Kellerman. A middle-aged woman was brought to my emergency room in a coma following a massive stroke. Despite an all-out effort to save her, she died. In treating her, I learned she had stopped taking her blood pressure medicine 2 weeks before. Her blood pressure shot up, causing an artery in her brain to burst. Why had she stopped taking medicine? She was poor, and though she had a job, lacked health insurance, so she had to choose between buying food for her kids or medicine for herself. Like most moms, she chose food. Unfortunately, she paid for this decision with her life. This woman's needless death and others like it are one manifestation of the tragic toll exacted day in and day out by the widespread lack of health insurance among U.S. residents. In a series of 6 reports issued from late 2001 to early 2004, the Institute of Medicine has documented the scope, causes, and consequences of the problem and set forth a set of principles that can be used in crafting, judging, and implementing improved insurance programs. Dr. David Colby, Deputy Director of the Healthcare Group at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, which supports the studies, said the following: "The IOM's reports have made a notable contribution. Taken together, they provide a definitive answer to the question of why health insurance coverage matters, not only in terms of protecting individual health, but also in terms of the economic and social costs that uninsurance exacts on individuals, on families, on communities, and on society as a whole. These reports bring together all of this information, often in ways never before examined, to paint a complete and compelling picture of the problem, and importantly, they propose standards to follow as the nation seeks solutions. One of the goals was to stimulate a more informed public debate about health insurance, and the reports certainly have done that." Dr. Kellerman, whose quote I read at the top of this podcast, is professor and chair of emergency medicine at the Emory University School of Medicine and co-chair of the IOM Committee on the Consequences of Uninsurance, which issued the reports. He says, without a doubt, people at many levels are now more aware of the problems of uninsurance than ever before, and I believe this series of reports has helped bring about that awareness. He adds, "I see this trend in institutions, in communities, and in state and federal agencies and governments. Of course, the nation has a long way to go in fixing the problems that the reports identify, but at least people now have a well-researched body of knowledge on which to build better insurance programs, along with overarching guidelines about what an effective program should look like." More than 43 million U.S. residents under the age of 65 lacked health insurance for all of the year 2002, and millions more went uncovered for at least part of that year, according to the final report of the IOM series, Ensuring America's Health, Principles and Recommendations. This means that roughly 1 in 7 Americans lacked coverage. The number of uninsured has grown steadily over the past 15 years, with only a few minor annual dips despite a very strong economy during this period. Without major public policy reforms, the report concludes, the number of uninsured people across the nation is likely to continue to rise in the years ahead. Other key conclusions reached in the reports include: 1. Most people who are uninsured have jobs or are part of families in which someone works. Indeed, more than 80% of uninsured children and adults live in working families. In most of these cases, the worker holds a job that does not offer health insurance. In others, subsidized coverage may be offered, but workers turn it down because they cannot afford their share of the premiums. Along with low-wage earners, young adults and employees of small firms are more likely to lack insurance than other groups. 2. Uninsured people often go without needed medical care. The uninsured receive only about half the medical care of people with health insurance. They are less likely to see a doctor on a regular basis, and they receive fewer preventive services and less care for chronic conditions. As a result, the uninsured suffer from poorer health. They are more likely to die prematurely, with roughly 18,000 unnecessary deaths occurring each year because of lack of health insurance. 3. Uninsurance threatens the stability of families. When even one uninsured member of a family has serious health problems, the resulting bills can shake the economic and emotional stability of the entire family. Moreover, when uninsured individuals seek health care, they often are charged more than insured patients because they do not have an insurance company to negotiate special discounted rates. Uninsured families are more likely to have large out-of-pocket medical expenses relative to income, and they often must borrow money to pay medical bills, thus jeopardizing other aspects of the family's general well-being. 4. Uninsurance can adversely affect the health and security of entire communities. High numbers of uninsured people can undermine the financial stability of a community's health care providers and therefore reduce the ability of health care resources that both the insured and the uninsured need. This is particularly true for those health care institutions that provide such vital community services as trauma and emergency care, as well as for those that focus on public health or the care of low-income patients. And 5. The high rate of uninsurance is an economic burden to the nation. The annual economic cost to the country due to the poorer health and premature deaths of uninsured people is in the range of $65 billion to $130 billion. Given the widespread consequences of uninsurance, the final report calls on Congress and the President to develop a comprehensive strategy to provide universal health insurance coverage and to achieve that goal by 2010. Mary Sue Coleman, President of the University of Michigan and co-chair of the IOM Study Committee, said, "Over the past 100 years, the United States has made several attempts to achieve universal coverage and has implemented limited extensions of coverage at the federal, state, and county levels. While some of these efforts succeeded in improving coverage and care for targeted groups, the overall number of uninsured people has grown through good times as well as bad. Based on this history and because of the increasing number of those without coverage, we believe that incremental changes will not solve the problem. A major policy effort will be required at the federal level to ensure that everyone has access to health insurance." The IOM committee was not charged with presenting a specific blueprint for change. Rather, the debate about the exact design of the necessary health insurance reforms is left to elected officials, policymakers, and others whose task it is to shape the nation's policies, as well as to members of the public, who will live with the results and thus have a vested interest in judging proposals for reform. Taking a broader approach, the committee laid out 5 principles that can be used to assess the merits of current proposals and to design future strategies for improving health insurance coverage. 1. Healthcare coverage should be universal. This is the foundation for all other considerations. Everyone living in the United States should be covered. 2. Healthcare coverage should be continuous. Continuous coverage starting from birth is more likely to lead to improved health outcomes. Conversely, gaps in coverage can result in diminished health. 3. Health insurance should be affordable to individuals and families. The main reason people give for being uninsured is the high cost of coverage. Lower-income families have little leeway in their budget for health expenditures, so financial assistance will be necessary for them to obtain coverage. 4. The health insurance strategy should be affordable and sustainable to society. Any major reform proposal will need mechanisms to control inflation and encourage use of efficacious and cost-effective services. Everyone should contribute financially through taxes, premiums, and cost-sharing because all members of society will benefit from universal coverage. The reform strategy should strive for efficiency and simplicity by eliminating complex eligibility rules, underwriting, billing procedures, and regulatory requirements. 5. Health insurance should enhance health and well-being by promoting access to high-quality care that is effective, efficient, safe, timely, patient-centered, and equitable. Basic benefit packages should include preventive and screening services, outpatient prescription drugs, and specialty mental health care, as well as outpatient and hospital services. Variations in patient cost sharing could be used as an incentive for appropriate service use. To demonstrate how these principles would facilitate decision making, the committee in its final report uses them to assess 4 generic solutions to covering the uninsured. These prototypes include aspects of the broad range of proposals undergoing public debate, such as expansions of current public insurance programs, mandates on employers to provide coverage and on individuals to purchase it, tax credits to subsidize premium costs, and a single-payer approach. Each generic solution is found to have strengths and weaknesses. This suggests that not only can current strategies be improved with further refinements, but also that the best approach may combine strong elements of different proposals. Implementing major insurance reforms will clearly require additional public funding, because the funds necessary will depend on many variables, such as the particular benefits package. The committee was unable to specify how much any of the prototype plans might cost. However, proposals that reduce the amount of time and resources needed to administer coverage could result in substantial cost savings, which could be used to offset part of the funding increases. Furthermore, the country will reap significant economic benefits from the improved health and enhanced life expectancy that will result from covering the uninsured, and this value is likely to exceed the additional costs necessary to give the uninsured the same level of health care that the insured enjoy. For more information on the Institute of Medicine, visit www.iom.edu. The IOM website provides organizational information as well as information about current and upcoming IOM projects, activities, and reports. My name is Randy Atkins, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have full text of more than 3,000 books and publications available to read free online. The nation turns to the National Academies for independent, objective advice on issues that affect people's lives worldwide.